For most kids, math class moves at the wrong pace. Some are way ahead of the class, others need more help along the way. Brilliant is the online math tutor that's visual and interactive. It's helped millions of students excel in math. On Brilliant, students can build stronger foundations or move ahead as fast as they want, from fractions to calculus. They'll get hands-on, get tutoring that's personalized to them, and see results in weeks. Sign up today at brilliant.org/tutor and get 20% off. That's brilliant.org/tutor.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
I'm really not sure why this story has captured my attention, but it has. And we're going to start out the show talking about Hee-Haw the Donkey. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Extravaganza as we broadcast border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. Great to have you with us today. A Georgia police officer is in a little bit of hot water after he shot and killed a family's beloved pet donkey in Rockmart, which is in Polk County, Georgia. All of this went down at about 12:45 a.m. on Sunday. The name of the donkey, the dead donkey, Hee-Haw, as in Hee-Haw. According to the Fox News report, police were searching for a missing child who was later found at a nearby church. The police were searching the donkey's pasture when the incident occurred. Dylan, I don't know if you've ever encountered a donkey in the, I don't know if it's in the wild. I don't know if you can domesticate a donkey, but they seem to be fairly innocent creatures. Goats, not so much, but the donkeys, they don't seem to be terribly aggressive creatures.
I haven't heard of a donkey being aggressive towards people.
Right. Alligators, yes. Hippos.
Yes.
Very aggressive.
Very aggressive. The most aggressive.
Oh, by the way, pigs. You know, you go after a mama pig's little piglets.
Yeah.
You're in hot water there.
That's why people go hog hunting. That's a thing.
Snakes. They're very aggressive.
Very aggressive.
What is it? The water moccasins.
Oh, yeah.
Don't like those things.
I hate those.
But I've never heard of a donkey going out and attacking anybody. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I'm just saying I've never heard much about it. So it's cats, can't stand those things. Don't like the cats. They're very self-centered, kind of like Michelle Obama. We'll get to that story in a little bit. So anyway, the donkey's in his field, right? So the donkey's doing what donkeys do, whatever they do, in the pasture. So all of a sudden, it's like it's pitch dark. It's what? After midnight. Nothing ever good happens in the pasture after midnight. And all of a sudden, this donkey sees strange people walking on his grass. And so the donkey does what I think any of us would do, is the donkey went up to investigate. So the police are claiming that the donkey, this is terrible. They claim the donkey ran towards them, so ambushed the cops and began to bray at the police officers. Hee-haw, hee-haw, hee-haw. And the police thought they were in danger, and one of the guys shot and killed the donkey. Now, you said, well, why didn't they just tase it? Well, they tried to tase the donkey. The donkey didn't go down. So the donkey is still, the donkey is braying. It's pitch dark. They're in the middle of a field, and the cops feared for their lives. So Hee-Haw was shot and killed. They had to do what they had to do. So now the family is very upset, as well they should be. Hannah Israel, age 30, says that, oh, by the way, it's a baby donkey. That makes it even worse.
That's so much worse.
The cops are kind of like the, I don't know, Lindsay Clancy of the animal world. This is terrible. The woman, Mrs. Israel, is horrified. Here's how bad it is. So they found the dead donkey in the field, and she's shining the spotlight. And do you know when donkeys get shot and killed, they die with their eyes open. And that's what that is a creepy photo. But the poor donkey is, well, it's not good. Anyway, Mrs. Israel is beyond inconsolable here. She says, "We are heartbroken. He was my son." I'm sorry, wait, what? "The donkey was my son." Okay. I mean, well, you know, I mean, people have these connections with their animals, right? I mean, you've seen, what is it? What is the dog community? The dog community, people, they treat these animals like they're human beings.
Sometimes better, actually, than human beings.
Oh, that's true. But
that's a different conversation.
They get the toys. And
yeah, the treats, get fed better.
You want to talk about it, Dylan?
Hey, my dog is my daughter.
Wow. That just...
Not really. My dog is my dog.
All right. Well, no, it's a dog. I mean, it's a beloved pet, and you don't want to take that away from people. But again, this was the beloved pet donkey. And they, you know, the cops came in and shot it dead. Cold-blooded killers. Bastards. Anyway, a photo taken after the shooting showed Israel crying over her pet donkey as the animal's eyes remained wide open as it lay lifeless on the ground. Can you not just, like, close the eyelids? I mean, we get how bad it is, but when you got dead soulless eyeballs staring back at you, it's a little off-putting. Mrs. Israel said, "Hee-haw would normally be standing right over there talking while I'm talking, because Hee-haw thought he could talk like a person could talk. Every time he saw somebody, he would run up and bray. Hee-haw! How are you, Dylan?" And then Hee-haw would do a really goofy sound because he loved people and he thought he was a person. And here's where it gets a little weird.
It hasn't gotten weird already?
No, you thought we were at weird.
Yeah.
We haven't gotten there yet. Mrs. Israel offered up to 11 Alive News about the dead donkey, telling 11 Alive that Hee-haw slept in my bed for the first 3 months of his life. Hope it was a king-size bed. It's a big donkey.
Yeah, donkeys are not small animals.
No, could you? I mean, what if the donkey rolled over? I mean,
you're crushed. I can understand a dog in bed, a donkey in bed. That's a different story.
I have questions now. I have a lot of questions.
Me too.
Is it like potty trained?
I don't know. Ian was showing me pictures of the donkey in a diaper, so there's something training. There's some training going on back there, and I don't know.
So the cops killed a baby donkey wearing a diaper.
If you didn't know it was a baby already, the diaper gave it away.
You know, somebody's getting fired over this.
Oh, yeah.
You could actually, if the cop had actually killed a human, there could be justified. They could justify something.
We wouldn't be talking about it.
No, but by golly, you're going to shoot a baby donkey wearing a diaper named Hee-haw. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you may be going to jail.
It's over.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine? Mm. So anyway, the Cedartown Police Department says the officer who shot the beloved baby donkey has now been placed on paid administrative leave. Oh, wow. The family's milking this for all it's worth. Now, the Georgia Department of Agriculture is investigating, and the police chief said, this is bad. The police chief said there is body cam footage. The police chief said the search took them to the incident location where this very unfortunate and heartbreaking event occurred. Well, let me stop you there, chief. No, your guy showed up at the wrong place. The missing child was at a church, sir. The police chief said he understands the heartbreak that the family and the community are facing after the donkey's death. Quote, they're members of the human family. And no, it's a donkey. I mean, it's a beloved donkey. Don't get me wrong, but it's The donkey was not human, sir. I know they put a diaper on the donkey, but that doesn't make. Yes, I know that the woman slept with the donkey. I get that, but it doesn't make it a human. I'm just saying. Anyway, they're members of the human family, and I too am heartbroken. Yeah, that cop's getting fired. The family has created a GoFundMe to help cover the legal cost related to Hee-Haw's death, and any donations left over would go to the farm, caring of the animals, and a future... I can't do this. A Hee-Haw Foundation.
Can we donate?
I want to make a donation.
Yeah.
We're going to make a donation.
We should.
It's the right thing to do.
It's only the right thing. It's her son, for goodness sakes.
WWHD. What would Hee-Haw do? What would Hee-Haw do? Anyway, she says, I've got to get my eyes checked. I thought it said my hottie baby donkey, but it was like my baby, my bottle baby donkey Hee-Haw.
Bottle. Is he bottle fed?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
That's it. Yeah. In the diaper, in the bed.
Yeah. An actual human, maybe.
Rock-a-bye Hee-Haw. Hee-haw, hee-haw.
I can't believe we're laughing at this.
This is a terrible story. No, we're not laughing out of humor. We're laughing out of disgust.
Yes.
Well, maybe a little humor. Anyway, she's raised more than $113,000. She could buy like a whole bunch of hee-haws.
Yeah, that was me. Just kidding.
Anyway, she said, my bottle baby donkey Hee-Haw was killed in his pasture by trespassing cops. He was a loved member of our family and did many petting zoos and made many people smile. Oh, she's also hired a lawyer. She's about to throw down. Throw down. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen, the story of Hee-Haw the donkey. And I say this, and I share this story with you, only because the cops went to the wrong location here. And there have been stories all over the country of cops that are doing these, these home invasion things, right? They think, and unfortunately, there's an error on the warrants, or they show up at the wrong house, and the cops, they knock down the door, the family's there on the ground, and they're being held at gunpoint, and then the cops are like, oops, our bad, oopsie, whoops, didn't mean for that to happen. So all that to say, our condolences to the family there on the loss of Hee-Haw. 901-260-5926. Got a lot of ground to cover today. We're following the situation out of Massachusetts. This Lindsey Clancy story is very, very ugly right now. Jury cannot reach a unanimous verdict. The judge told him to go back and try. So we're going to be talking about that coming up as well. Again, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Celebrate America's 250th with a powerful movie marathon from Salem News Channel and Salem Now. Watch the films that explore faith, freedom, courage, government power, religious liberty, the American dream, and the founding vision of a nation called to be a shining city upon a hill. Don't miss the America 250 Film Marathon, all weekend on Salem News Channel.
All right, welcome back. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Dylan, I understand we got a call from a disgruntled listener.
He wasn't too pleased with the donkey monologue.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, you say, did any explanation? What was it? Was it the content? Was it the, my delivery? Anything in particular?
The only word that I was able to decipher was stupid.
Stupid. Yeah. Stupid. Now, let me explain this. So on this radio program, we like to mix things up a little bit. And when I saw the story of Hee-Haw the donkey, I got righteously indignant. and I knew that I had to bring Hee-Haw's story to the national platform. And I take great umbrage. Umbrage, I say. Umbrage. To anyone who might be critical of the beloved donkey Hee-Haw. For the love of God, man, have you no compassion for this sweet 30-year-old woman who now must sleep by herself, her donkey no longer by her side? I wonder if the donkey had, like, sleep apnea, just as an aside. Did it wear one of the little masks?
These are great questions. We have to investigate.
I'm just asking. How dare you, sir?
Do they have sleep apnea for donkeys?
Well, I don't know, but could you imagine? I mean, if you're, you know, how do...
I mean, you're raising it.
Look, if you're a human and you're sleeping next to a snoring donkey,
yeah,
I mean, that could be difficult.
She probably has some problems.
No doubt. No doubt. All right, moving on along. It's only Tuesday. That's the problem here. It's only Tuesday, Dylan. Yeah. That is the problem. So, coming up, we're gonna talk about this situation in Massachusetts. A lot of people don't realize this, but one of the big problems Fox had with me at the end, there were two. One was what I said about the illegals. The other is something I said about Democrats being pro-abortion. And at the time, we had Dr. Robert Jeffress on, the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, and he said that Democrats worship at the altar of the God of child sacrifice. That would be Moloch in the Old Testament. And Fox News became enraged over that. I mean enraged. And look, they have a lot of Democrats that work at Fox News now. It's, it is what it is. So they took great offense. And that's ultimately they decided, you know what, we're not going to renew your contract. And that was that. So I will say that once again, I was proven right. They also didn't like what I said about the illegals. At the time, I was the only person categorizing what was happening at the border, at least on Fox News, as an invasion and occupation. And I clearly pointed out, I said this at the time, and I do not apologize for anything I said. I said at the time that the illegals were invading our nation, and there was a time in world history when one country invaded another and sent people over the border without that country's permission. That was called a war. And we used to fight wars over stuff like that. Anyway, Fox, whatever. They didn't like that. But when you look at what's happening right now in Massachusetts, and you can't tell me the women, and it's what, overwhelming women on the jury, you can't tell me it's the women that are causing the problems on that jury right now. You can't tell me those women didn't go home over the weekend. They should have been sequestered, but they weren't. And they didn't. You're telling me they didn't see all the media coverage? They didn't see all of those Karens wearing the pink T-shirts out there protesting in defense of Lindsey Clancy? You're telling me they didn't see all that? Oh, they saw it, ladies and gentlemen. They saw it. So anyway, they came out today and said, Judge, we can't reach a unanimous decision. The jury is deadlocked. The judge says, go back in there and try again. They can try till the cows come home or Hee-Haw comes home. It doesn't matter. Nothing. They're not going to change their mind. And the reason why in Massachusetts, they have no respect for life. In Massachusetts, there is no respect for life, which is why the governor a couple of weeks ago signed into law the abortion measure that says any woman in the Commonwealth can kill her baby on the day of its birth. You think these people respect life? Of course not. And that's why they think Lindsey Clancy is actually the victim here. And these people, the pink hat people, they think the kids got what was coming to them. I mean, that's what we're really talking about here. All right, I've got a lot to say about this. Hang tight. We'll be right back. From Focus Features and the acclaimed director of Captain Phillips and Jason Bourne comes The Uprising, starring Andrew Garfield. Witness the true story behind the legend of Robin Hood. With everything taken from him and nothing left to lose, one man's stand against injustice will inspire a movement that will change everything. In a land of kings, a man of the people will defy the most powerful empire on earth and ignite a revolution. With an all-star cast, breathtaking visuals, and visceral action, The Uprising is a must-see cinematic epic that demands to be seen on the biggest screen possible. The Uprising, rated R, under 17, not admitted without a parent. Witness the rise of Robin Hood only in theaters September 10th. All right, so there is there's just really, really bad stuff happening in Massachusetts right now. I want you to listen. These are Lindsey Clancy supporters, and they're out there talking to reporters today. Cut number 26.
Do you stand with her, yes or no?
I don't think she did it.
Yes.
We feel she's very sleep-deprived. Her job as a labor and delivery nurse working night shifts and three children is
a lot.
A lot.
Do you have children?
Yes.
Would you ever hurt them?
Yes and no. As a mom or as a dad, I think that you are not perfect.
So what are the consequences she should face for this?
Obviously, she's already in a wheelchair.
He should go to jail for negligence. He needs to take care of his kids, and that was his responsibility.
Is this any of your girlfriends?
Mine.
This is your girlfriend?
Yeah.
I think you have to do some reflection on that.
I just have seen a little bit on TikTok of the case.
I'm watching it on TikTok or like the live streams.
Where are you getting your news that the defense might not be getting theirs?
What did you say?
TikTok.
Oh, boy. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. And the woman said about, she was asked whether or not you would hurt your kids, and she said yes and no. Ladies of America, what is going on out there? I want you to listen to Anne Hathaway, the movie star, and here's what Anne Hathaway has to say about all of this. Cut number 22, please. Cut number 22. Okay, we don't have that, so we'll get back to you. All right, let's take a listen.
When you are a young woman starting out your career, your reproductive destiny matters a great deal. My own personal experience with abortion, and I don't think we talk about this enough, abortion can be another word for mercy. We don't know. We don't know. It's not a world in which we know that no two pregnancies are alike, and it follows that no two lives are alike. That follows that no two conceptions are alike.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So how can we have a law? How can we have a point of view on this that says we must treat everything the same? And where I come at it from is when you allow for choice, you allow for flexibility, which is what we need in order to be human.
But what she is saying is inhuman. That's inhumane is what that is. Killing your child is not merciful at all. But this, again, ladies and gentlemen, this is what happens when you do not cherish life, when you do not respect life. I mean, we live in a nation that wants to, you know, kill babies. And we've had tens of millions of babies slaughtered in the name of choice. Here is, again, so many people outside the courthouse there in Massachusetts. And one reporter went and decided to ask men versus women on whether or not they think Lindsey Clancy is guilty. Let's take a listen to Cut 20, please.
The jury is deliberating on a verdict for Lindsey Clancy, and so we are asking people today whether or not they think that she's innocent or guilty.
I think she's innocent. I think if she was guilty, I think it needs to be a state of psychosis. She does not deserve prison time. Based on all the evidence I've seen, the time stamps just doesn't add up to... I don't think she had enough time to kill all three kids and harm herself.
Guilty. Sorry, I said it.
I think she's guilty, but I do think there's a lot of, like, gray area. And I don't know, her husband seems sus to me.
I think she should be found guilty. From the little bit of research that I have done, I think her diagnosis, she said, I think it was a mental issue she was trying to blame it on. I don't agree.
She's guilty, mm-hmm.
of the murdering part of it, but I do think that there's a lot of underlying mental health issues and, you know, women's health issues that need to be talked about with that trial.
Whether or not she did it from a state of sanity, she killed her kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she shouldn't be walking free, probably.
Lindsay Clancy trial, have you guys been following it?
My girlfriend has. No. I know nothing about it, but she's on TikTok for like 3 hours in the morning.
What does your girlfriend say about it?
She thinks she's innocent.
What do you think?
I don't know enough about it. I just know what she says.
I wish I knew something about it.
The guilty party is like the medical system that failed both her and the children.
Hey, who is that?
She's on trial right now for strangling her three kids to death.
Wait, is this the lady who had postpartum?
I hope that Lindsay Clancy not only gets strapped to an electric chair, but that they lethally inject her three different times. And here's the crazy part about the Clancy trial, and I could go on for days in this. Two things. Number one, if you think that men are holding women to too high of standards, and your poster child is Lindsay Clancy, how low do you want the standard to be? The only thing we're asking she refrained from doing is killing the kids when her husband goes out to get her Midol. Is that too much to ask for? Is that a Leviathan lift for you? Please don't kill the kids while we're out getting bananas. And number two, you can't have it both ways, okay? The same women that are standing outside of the court house railing on and on about how her husband should have intervened and taken control of her medications and, God forbid, involuntarily had her committed and separated from her children, would have been the same women who, if he had done that, would have said Handmaid's Tale.
Do you feel like men's response to this trial has been fair?
No. I don't think a man should have any say in it, honestly.
Wow. That is a big problem in America right now. So now the argument is that she did what she did because she was hormonal. So, again, this, you just have to step back and ask this question. If, in fact, that's the argument here from the defense, does this open up a whole other can of worms? Because you could turn around and say, okay, well, you know what? We need to go ahead and fire every female police officer because, God forbid, they get hormonal on us. I mean, where do you draw the line here if you want to go down that path? So, it's... This is a very, very sad situation. But again, the breaking news of the jury says they cannot reach a verdict. Judge said, go back, try again, and we'll keep you updated on the developments here. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This segment of the Todd Stern Show brought to you by our friends at Newsmax. Millions of Americans agree with President Trump. They're switching to Newsmax. They're watching great shows. Carl Higbee, Rob Schmidt, Greta. So if you're tired of big media, start watching Newsmax, free to start. Go to NewsmaxPlus.com for immediate access. Get all of President Trump's most important events live. And once you start Newsmax Plus, you will not stop. Try it for free. Go to NewsmaxPlus.com and then download the app. Okay, let's go to the phone lines here. Elizabeth in Georgia, WDUN, our great affiliate there. Hey, Elizabeth, what's on your mind?
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for asking.
Okay, now, I'm calling about the donkey lady.
Hee-haw.
First of all, she should be charged for cruelty to animals. She didn't ask that animal if he wanted to lay in bed with her. She just took advantage of this poor donkey. And I loved your story. I loved you laughing about it. I'm 84 years old. I could be dead tomorrow, and I need all the laughs I can get. So I thank you very much for the story. And the people who said that you were stupid, they're stupid, so don't worry about them. I love your program. I listen to you every day.
Well, thank you, Elizabeth. I hope you live a long and healthy life, you know. You've got plenty good years ahead of you.
From your lips to God's ears.
So you're saying that there was no consent given here, so this could be a Me Too situation.
Absolutely. And as for the poor cops have a difficult job. There are how many cops in the United States? Thousands and thousands and thousands of cops. If one make a mistake, they're all covered with the same paintbrush.
So you're saying it's not like they're going out there and shooting every donkey, you know, on sight?
No, just hee-haw.
Just hee-haw. Elizabeth, you're killing me here.
Good, that's what we need. We need this lady that killed her babies. She should be in an electric chair, very slowly dying. Yes.
Yeah, I'm. Can you?
I pushed myself into that one too. Sorry.
No, don't apologize, Elizabeth. Look, well, thank you for calling, Elizabeth. You be healthy, and thank you for that. You know, I really didn't think the conversation was going to go in that direction, Dylan.
No, I didn't think about it either, but she has a good point.
But the again,
donkey never asked.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, do dogs, and again, hear me, I'm just opening up a can of worms here. But aside from the fact that, you know, the donkey was wearing a diaper, does that make the donkey uncomfortable? And if that's the case, what about the dogs? You know, I see all these little dogs, and especially the ones that are like the little metrosexual dogs.
The kickable ones?
Yeah.
Like the Pomeranian, yeah, the weenie dog?
Yeah, the little weenie dogs. And they're, you know, their owners or masters, what do they call them? Masters.
Parents. No, owners.
Fluffy, go pick some cotton. Gosh. Woof, woof.
You're like, woof.
I'm sorry. Yeah. What do they call them? Owners? Is that the appropriate?
Yeah, owners.
Okay. Sure. So there's... I just can't today. So anyway, I mean, but again, you've got these dogs out there. Do the dogs really like the outfits is what I'm getting at. You know, when you dress your little dog up and it looks like, I don't know, Dolly Parton.
My dog hates getting an outfit, so we don't do it anymore.
Good for you. Well, good. That's what I was wondering, is if that's like a thing. Okay, I got to take a break here. Folks, it's a weird day. That's all I can tell you, a weird day. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. This is the Todd Stern Show.
For nearly 3,000 years, Homer's The Iliad has shaped the Western imagination. As one of the foundational works of Western literature, it explores permanent questions about honor, courage, leadership, friendship, justice, and what it means to live a noble life. In one of the epic's defining moments, Achilles returns to battle after the death of his beloved friend Patroclus, setting aside his wounded pride to confront the responsibilities that come with greatness. His decision reveals one of the central themes of the Iliad, that true greatness requires more than strength. It demands character, sacrifice, and the pursuit of what is right. That's why Hillsdale College has released its newest free online course, The Iliad. Taught by Professor Stephen Smith, the course reveals why Homer's masterpiece remains one of the greatest works of Western literature. Hillsdale.edu/start now. Read the classics. Study the West. Hillsdale.edu/start now.
All right, let's go to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926 here on the Todd Stearns Radio Show. By the way, toddstearns.com is our website. Let's say hello to James in Arkansas, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, James, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd, thanks for taking the call. You know, this is just absolutely disgusting, these people talking about how they defend her and it's not her fault. So was it Susan Smith's fault when she put her kids in her car and shoved it off in a lake and drowned them?
Great question.
Does she get a pass for that? Are we going to let her out of jail now? You know, I'm sick to death of this, and the Republicans, and I know it's kind of a different topic, but the Republicans are just as bad. They won't call evil evil. That's evil. I don't care what you were going through. I don't care how bad a time you were having. You murdered your children.
Yeah,
you didn't just shoot them suddenly, you know, 30 seconds and, oh, my gosh, the gun went off and I shot all my kids. No, you did it one by one. You are evil. You need to go to jail. You need to be shot. You need to be assassinated with the same bands you killed your kids with.
James, I'm not disagreeing with anything you say at all, and it troubles me that the death penalty was not on the table there. They can't do the death penalty, but, I mean, there's a very real possibility this woman will be able to, she can't walk out because she's paralyzed, but she may very well be able to roll out of that courtroom today or tomorrow or whenever the jury comes back and says, yeah, we can't figure this out.
Yeah, well, you know what? They can't figure it out. The WNBA can't figure out what a woman is.
No, it's a messed up world.
Again, we need to call evil what it is. Evil.
Yeah.
And all these people, I'll say it real quick, Todd. Let me tell you something. All these people doing all this stuff and defending all this stuff and doing the things you're doing, you better stop and think about it, because my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is going to come back real soon. And when he does, oh boy, y'all going to have a rude awakening.
Well, that's a sermon right there, James, and that'll preach, as they say. James, thank you for the call. And James is right. By the way, the Republican Party, to his point, the Republican Party in 2024, they went in there, party leaders went in and weakened the party platform on the issue of abortion. So let that sink in. That gives you an idea of where this political party is going. Let's go to Georgia. Nelson is on the line. Nelson, what's on your mind?
Hey, good. Hello. I listen to you every day. It's good to hear your voice on the show.
Thank you.
I'm just on Hee-Haw. That's one of them miniature donkeys. I've got a mini farm. I've got chickens. We're fixing to buy a couple of those, me and my wife are, because they make just wonderful pets. And I hate that it happened. I hate it for the cop. I hate it for the ball.
So,
I really do, because...
Let me ask you, Nelson. So these miniature donkeys, how big are we talking? Like a Saint Bernard or a Greyhound?
No, like they're a little bit. They're just right at a little tiny, a little bit smaller than Saint Bernard.
Oh,
when they get full grown,
it's like a little midget donkey.
Yeah, that's what they are, and they make pets that are just it's amazing. I've got German Shepherd dogs on my property that guard my chicken house because I've got a lot of bears up here, and but I'm building a little barn right now on some lower property I got before I get these two little donkeys. Because I just want a couple of them for pets. I mean, my wife loves them. And I hate it happened to that lady. And like I said, I hate it for the police officers. It's a bad situation all the way around.
Are the donkeys aggressive? Will they attack you?
No, absolutely not.
So they're...
They'll come up to you. It's like the lady said, don't it? I've been around these donkeys. I've played with them. I got buddies of mine that's got them. I got a friend of mine that raises them.
Oh.
And they're very docile, but now they love to play. And, you know, like she said, they do think they're human. I mean, they're really a funny creature. When you get to know one of them, and they just, I don't know, they won't bite you or nothing like that, like a horse will, or a full-grown donkey, because they will bite you.
When I first heard about this story, Nelson, I gotta be honest with you. When I first heard that somebody gunned down the little donkey Hee-Haw, I immediately thought, "Where's Kristi Noem?"
Yeah, amen.
Where's Kristi Noem?
I agree with that 100%. Because I really like her.
Well, I'll tell you this: I guarantee you, all the animals on her farm they are very well behaved.
mine are too. I got chickens. We grow everything we eat. We're hillbillies. That's just what we are.
No, you're good country folks, Nelson. That's what you are.
That's what we are. We just grew up that way. I'm 70 years old. I grew up that way.
Nelson, you'll appreciate this story. In the middle of this is Midtown Memphis, and it's in the medical district, so you have a bunch of highfalutin folks and doctors and everything. But there's a restaurant that's been around, I don't know, 40-some-odd years called the Cupboard, the world-famous Cupboard Restaurant. And you go in there, it's good food. You know, you can get a good – but the funny thing is when you walk in, they've got all this fresh produce. So if you want a whole bag of fresh tomatoes off the farm, you can get a little bit of produce there. So that's good. You don't see that in New York City.
No, you don't. And you mentioned that. We're canners. We've already put up 200 quarts this year. My wife's home today canning apples. She's canning brandy apples today, putting a little bit of brandy in it.
Mm-hmm.
We've just done our peaches and done our green beans and the tomatoes. And
now,
buy nothing in town.
How do the brandy peaches work? So a couple of drops in and a couple of drops in you. Is that the way it works with the brandy?
Yeah. I'm an evangelist, and a buddy of mine asked me one time, he said, "Nelson, I know you take a drink." And I said, "Oh, let me tell you something." I said, "Jesus said, anything you do, my children, do in moderation. And there's only one man in the Bible that was not supposed to take a strong drink, and that was John the Baptist. But Jesus said we would drink with him with a covenant with new wine." So I do believe Jesus takes a sip of wine every now and then himself. I do believe that.
Well, you know, to put up with the Democrats, you got to take a swig of something. I'll just tell you that much now.
Take some of my daddy's little white. My daddy's family made whiskey all their lives, and that's how they made it.
All right. Well, look, we just call it extreme communion. Make it a double, preacher. Nelson, Good call. And you sound like good people. Can't wait to try some of those brandied apples, though. All right, hour two of the big show coming up. You're going to want to stick around for what President Trump just said. We'll be right back, everybody.
This is Jenny Garth from 90210 OMG. HGTV is bringing back the 90s in a big way with Totally 90s House, a brand new renovation competition series that reunites some of your favorite television stars from the era for a showdown unlike anything you've seen before. Let's be honest, the 90s gave us some great things. The music, totally rad. The fashion, so fly. But the home design choices, well, that's a different story. Hosted by Jaleel White, this throwback competition sends two teams of your favorite 90s TV stars across America in search of homes frozen in time. Their mission? Find the two most dated houses they can and transform them into modern dream homes. Jodi Sweetin, Beverly Mitchell, Brian Austin Green team up against Matthew and Joey Lawrence, Melissa Joan Hart, and Keisha Knight Pulliam. Paired with HGTV mentors, they'll transform those outdated spaces into fresh, modern homes while keeping just the right amount of dope, nostalgic charm. Goodbye, honey oak cabinets, sponge-painted walls, and glass blocks. Hello, 21st century dream homes. Totally 90s House special series premiere starts August 26th at 9, 8 Central on HGTV.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
And this is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Hello, everybody. Welcome. Great to have you with us today. Border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain, we have a terrific hour lined up for you. Coming up in just a little while, we're going to be talking politics with our good buddy Chad Connolly. Also, Mary Walter coming up a little bit later. And we're going to have we're going to play a bit of our interview that Rita Cosby did with me. So last night, I was not the guy asking the questions. I was a guest on Rita's national radio show, and she interviewed me about my new book called The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. And we just had a really fun conversation, and we're going to play a little bit of that for you. By the way, you can get a copy of The Golden Age right now, your favorite bookstore. We're encouraging folks to order from Barnes & Noble. They've been incredibly kind to us. As a matter of fact, Barnes & Noble has named The Golden Age one of their new and notable books of the season. So we're incredibly grateful for Barnes & Noble for doing that. And again, you can get it wherever you buy your books. Well, this is a very disturbing story coming out of Minnesota. And I did a double take when I got an email from our friends at First Liberty Institute, very surprised at this news that apparently the Amish are coming under attack. And one particular Minnesota county is now jailing and fining Amish people for simply building homes and businesses in accordance with their belief system. I want to go right away to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to our good friend Ryan Gardner, who is senior counsel at First Liberty. Ryan, thank you for joining us. What in the world is going on down there in Amish country?
That's a very good question. And when I found out about the facts of this case, I had the exact same reaction that you did. We represent two Amish congregations in Mille Lacs County, Minnesota, and their request is a very simple one. They want to live according to their religious beliefs. And if you know anything about the Amish religious beliefs, what that really entails at the end of the day is allowing them to be left alone to some degree. But this county just won't do that. It is using the petty tools of government to make clear to the Amish that they are not welcome in their community. What this all stems down to from the county side is permitting issues. And this has been going on for a number of years. What the county originally did is that they took this permit scheme, which used to go in and do by paper, they turned that into an electronic system with no paper option. Well, as you might be aware, the Amish don't really go online or otherwise use technology, so they didn't even have the option for a long time to get permits, and the county refused to work with them. Now, as time went on, they eventually went back to allowing an option for the Amish to again get permits, but now they have to pay a special fee of like $50 to come and get a paper copy, and it really is only the Amish people that would be getting that kind of thing. So during this time when they couldn't get permits, many of the Amish just decided to build their own homes for themselves. They needed a place to live, worship, conduct their business, and they did so. And by the way, they did so pursuant to their methods of building things that dates back centuries. So if you're talking about safety concerns, Amish have some of the best handiwork of anybody in the country, and their buildings are going to be amongst the most safe in this country. But Ryan, despite that, the county is now going after them.
Yeah, let me jump in here. So help me understand this. It's my understanding that people have been arrested here. What are the charges?
Yeah, so failing to get a building permit. That's basically what it comes down to, is failing to have the proper permit. When one of our clients went into court to have his day in court on all of this, he was convicted of a criminal offense and put in jail for 30 days for not having a permit, which I do a lot of these sorts of land use cases around the country. It is exceedingly rare that you're going to get incarcerated for this kind of offense. At most, you're going to get a fine typically, but it's clear that what the county wanted to do with this individual is to make an example of him. So he immediately was taken into custody after he was convicted of not having this permit. And by the way, to add insult to injury, not only was he taken to jail, but while he was in jail, he was taken from his cell and forcibly had his mugshot taken against his will, which is another violation of his religious beliefs. As you might be aware, the Amish do not want to be photographed. They don't want to be videoed, and doing so violates their beliefs. And so you have a trampling of the religious rights of the Amish community across the board. And here's the kicker about this whole permitting scheme. Built into the very ordinance that they're attacking the Amish with is the option to give them an exemption. The county could give them an exemption, but just doesn't want to do so.
So I understand that you guys, along with Harvard Law School, Foley and Lardner, the Harvard Law School Religious Freedom Clinic, sending this demand letter. It's beyond offensive here, especially when you see how the folks in Minnesota bend over backwards to accommodate the Muslim community and the Somali community while targeting the Amish.
I couldn't agree more that this is truly something that is egregious. And if you look across the country, communities everywhere make efforts to accommodate the Amish, and they do so successfully without incident. That's really all we're asking for here, is for Mille Lacs County to treat the Amish the same way that other communities around the country treat the Amish. And by the way, if you look at the Amish's record on religious liberty cases, some of the foundational Supreme Court opinions in this country come from the Amish standing up for their rights. So I would say they have a pretty good track record up at the U.S. Supreme Court.
Ryan, looking back here, was there a time when they did not have to do all of this stuff? The Amish were, exempt from it? When did things change?
Yeah, there was a time, maybe if you went back 10 years ago, I think things were much better. But then, as often happens in these small communities, new people come into power, new people take over these government positions, and they see things a new way. And here, the official that came in, for whatever reason, instituted a regime that is no longer tolerant of the Amish community.
It's just unbelievable what's happening here. All right, so what are you guys wanting the county to do? I suspect if things don't go your way, we're heading to court here, but what is it that you're demanding they do?
So at this point, we sent a letter last week demanding that the county cease its illegal activity and enforcement against the Amish and simply accommodate them, work with the Amish. The thing about this community is they are not a litigious society. The Amish, they simply want to be left alone, separate from society, to live out according to their beliefs with their families and their congregations. And that's really what we want here. We want the county to work with us to find a solution that works. Up to this point, the Amish community has been met with hostility and reproach every time they've tried to approach the county officials about finding a compromise. But that compromise, frankly, has already been struck by the First Amendment and by federal law. And what it requires is a combination of the Amish religious beliefs.
Well, all right. Well, Ryan, we appreciate you joining us today. We want to stay up to date on this case. Keep us updated, and good luck to you.
Absolutely. You can always find out more at firstliberty.org.
All right. That's Ryan Gardner, ladies and gentlemen, First Liberty Institute. Unbelievable. They're going after the Amish. I mean, you've got the Somalians, millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars in fraud. You've got Ilhan Omar and the Islamist, but they're going to turn a blind eye to all of that, and they're going to target the Amish on building permits. Unbelievable. All right, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. We'll take your calls on this story. Again, 901-260-5926. Dylan, I am so impressed, and this is an interesting story out of Memphis, Tennessee. The new head football coach at the University of Memphis is making national headlines. His name is Charles Huff, and this guy won the National Coach of the Week, the Bear Bryant Award, this week.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's huge.
Yeah, huge accolades. And for Memphis, too, that's a huge, like, you know, we're not that big of a school, but, like, this guy being, you know, he has a great track record as a coach, and it's cool to see.
First year coach just got hired, and they went to UNLV, and they beat him.
Yep.
But what I appreciate is that this coach is very different. You know, if you there was a comparison made, Jason Whitlock. I was listening to his podcast, and he was making the point that Charles Huff is the exact opposite of Deion Sanders, primetime.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And Coach Huff is just like hardcore basics. We're not playing the rap music. Who is it? Lil Baby? Is that the? Is that? Did I get that right?
Yeah, he's Lil Baby.
Lil Baby, Lil Baby,
not Little Baby.
Oh, Lil. All right, Lil. Like Lil Baby.
Yep.
Anyway, no, they don't do that kind of stuff. Not under this coach. I want you to listen to Coach Charles Huff talking to the national media about what they're doing at the University of Memphis.
That we don't play music at practice. So if you want music, you're not going to play for me. So we get the kids who are worried about football and creating value for themselves. We don't do ice cream trucks. We don't do fun things. You know what's fun? That locker room right now is fun. You know what's fun? When these guys graduate and they get to walk across the state, that's fun. So no, we're not the and what I'm not saying that other programs that do that are not right. That's great. We have an opportunity for the next 6 months for some of these kids to change their life forever. So it is our job as coaches, adults, administrators, supporters to do everything we can. We spent a week and a half with Dr. Sherry Mai teaching these guys how to sleep. Why? Because this trip was important. So she taught us how to sleep. She taught us the value of sleep. She taught us what to do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday coming up. Our guys are on the plane with eye masks. Guys are on the plane with 30-minute timers on. Last night, we're staying up 30 minutes later because we're trying to do everything we can at the University of Memphis to help these guys be successful in life. And if that means we had to bring in a sleep doctor to help them sleep a little better because we were playing, it's 1 o'clock back home, right? So if we had to do something to that minute of a detail to help these guys, it's what we have to do. And I think once they get here and they feel that love, I think they really embrace it.
Wow. I love this. And this is the kind of a coach that you would want your son to play under, this kind of a guy.
For sure. He doesn't mess around at all. He knows exactly what his job is. There's no extra stuff. This is a very refreshing take as a coach, honestly, because like we've been hearing all the NIL stuff and how it's affecting college football. This guy mentioned that it's fun to walk across the graduation stage. Like, that's so refreshing to hear because he's, you know, they're students first. And he prioritizes the discipline that it takes to be a student and an athlete.
I think it's gonna be a fun year for Memphis, but I think for the coach, it's gonna be a fun year at graduation watching these young men, you know, walk across that stage.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, this is exciting.
Yeah, no, it's great. And meanwhile, at LSU, it didn't take long for Lane Kiffin to cause controversy.
No, it never does.
I can't believe this, but it's true. Dabo Sweeney is really upset, and his team is getting ready to play LSU, and LSU is trying to roster a number of people who have played in the NFL and now want to go back to college.
Yeah, I heard that. What is going on over there?
No way. But I mean, they're going to try it.
It's not going to work.
No, they have got. Look, we need more coaches like Charles Huff making the rules and fixing what is broken in college football right now.
You know, he worked for Nick Saban.
Oh yeah,
and that shows right
yes,
now.
It does.
You can see it.
It does. You're right. So I think. This is a fascinating situation, but I'm so encouraged. We've heard a lot of bad stuff about what's wrong with college football. It's nice to know that Charles Huff is doing and leading the charge in what is right, and it's happening right here in our own backyard. You going to the game Saturday?
I want to. He makes me want to like go out, and I'm an alum from the University of Memphis, so I want to go out and support this team and this coach.
Did you play? You played in the marching band.
Played in the marching band.
What was the name of your?
I played the trumpet.
Right, I know you. What was the name of the band?
The Mighty Sound of the South.
Okay, gotcha. All right. Yep. Well, no, those are big things in the South. You know, the bands all have big names.
Yeah, so. They all say we all like claim that we're the mightiest or we're the biggest, but you know, we actually were.
Like Jacksonville State University used to have a rockin' marching band.
Oh yeah. Program. Yeah, marching band's the best. It's a free ticket to every football game, especially if you're a fan.
But let's not forget the greatest of all, which is the Pride of the Southland band.
Sure. Mm-hmm. You can have that opinion. I'll let you have it. For Dolly.
Wow. And what is it? So, no, the Tennessee Volunteers are doing something for Dolly at Saturday's game.
Yep. Well, so they're going to be honoring her all season with decals on their helmets. There's sort of like a butterfly with Dolly in the middle of it. And, you know, I'm sure the walkout's going to be a little, you know, they're going to be honoring her for sure, but I'm sure it's going to be sad because they play Rocky Top with Dolly Parton.
I think it is going to be interesting to watch the, you know, 400-pound linebackers with the butterflies on their helmet.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't you be dissing Dolly.
Nope.
Don't you be saying Dolly.
That's a good point.
It's a fair point. All right, we got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
This is Jody Sweetin.
And this is Andrea Barber from How Rude, Tanneritos.
HGTV is bringing back the 90s in a big way with Totally 90s House, a brand new renovation competition series that reunites some of your favorite television stars from the era for a showdown unlike anything you've seen before.
Ooh, the 90s gave us so many great things. The music? Totally rad. The fashion? So fly.
But the home design choices? Well, that's a different story. Hosted by Jaleel White, this throwback competition sends two teams of your favorite 90s TV stars across America in search of homes frozen in time. Their mission? Find the two most dated houses they can and transform them into modern dream homes. I'm super excited to be on a team with Beverly Mitchell and Brian Austin Green to team up against Matthew and Joey Lawrence, Melissa Joan Hart, and Keisha Knight Pulliam.
Paired with HGTV mentors, the teams will transform those outdated spaces into fresh, modern homes while keeping just the right amount of nostalgic charm.
Goodbye, honey oak cabinets, sponge-painted walls, and glass blocks. Hello, 21st century dream homes. Totally 90s House. Special series premiere starts August 26th at 9, 8 central on HGTV.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Michelle Obama, she's very upset on a number of different levels, but right now she's having the time of her life. I just have a question for you. When your kids moved off to college, were you sad? Was there a part of you that sort of like, you know, you miss your kids? And I think most parents out there, when you spend 18 years raising your kids and then they go off to college and a part of you feels like, you know, you miss them. But not Michelle Obama. No. Ladies and gentlemen, she could not wait until her kids went off to school. Cut number 23, please.
You know, the energy and excitement of the kids being around is so incredible.
I don't. I love them. I'm going to see them tonight for dinner. I love them.
Yeah.
But, you know, Barack cried when they went to college. Yeah, I was like, bye, little. Goodbye. Now Friday nights aren't wrecked with terror and fear about where are you?
Right.
You know, no, I love their emancipation and growth. And
the thing I miss though is the job. Like, don't you miss? See, your kids are still in high school, yeah, so it's still a job.
Yes.
Like the it gave a meaning and like pattern to my life.
I'm good.
Yeah.
Look at all the
She's
meaning.
Different.
I
She's
have.
Different.
I have
She's
a
different.
Wonderful pattern.
Oh man,
you know,
I love my kids' schedule.
Yeah, there's something about the schedule.
I love this schedule.
I love my schedule. I have a great schedule, and it's all mine. But I think fathers can be that way because you weren't there from 6
and
9.
And we missed a lot of it.
You missed a lot of it. I mean, I've had so much quality time with my children.
But again, but you're a mother. This reminds me, she sat down to an interview. Was this Robin Roberts from ABC News? And she actually asked Michelle about name one thing that you want to be all about in the future. And Michelle Obama, well, she said this, cut 24.
One word to describe your next chapter. One word.
Fun.
Me.
Wow.
That's what you call drop the mic.
What a narcissist this woman is. It's all about Michelle. Golly. All right. Hang tight. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. I want to talk just briefly about what's happening in Texas with the Senate race there. Ken Paxton, the Attorney General, going up against James Talafrico. And the problem here is the national Republicans are not doing anything to help this guy out. Ken Paxton, not a thing. As a matter of fact, here's Senator John Kennedy on Fox confirming they're not lifting a finger to help Ken Paxton. Cut 27.
It didn't sound from his answer that the president made any commitments, either himself or through his super PAC, to write checks for Paxton, at least right now. Does Senate Leadership Fund or NRSC have any plans for TV ads, you know, to support him? Because he's down in spending there.
Well, I listened to your interview. It was very good, by the way, with the Attorney General. Look, there's no sense bubble wrapping it. We've got a race in Texas. And the Attorney General is going to have to do two things. He's going to have to point out the deficiencies of Mr. Talafrico. He really is a Lululemon, and he's a little bit of a weenie. But at the same time, Mr. Paxton is going to have to talk about what he's going to do, a positive platform for the United States Senate. You can't win an election by saying the other guy's worse than me. Money is an issue. Mr. Talafrico has been raising bucket loads of money from California, Hollywood, all the beautiful people who partied with Harvey Weinstein. We in the Senate don't have the money budgeted for Texas. We need help from the president. The president says he has $850 million in his campaign accounts. That's a lot of jack. I'm hoping that the president's going to spend $100 or $200 million in Texas, but he hasn't committed to it yet. But in the meantime, we've got a race. And
good.
I'm not
We're good. We're good. Want to bring into the conversation the founder of an incredible organization called Faith Wins, Chad Connolly. Chad, I can't believe what I just heard Senator John Kennedy say right there. They don't have any money budgeted for Texas.
I can't believe it, Todd. I sure hope they change their minds pretty quick, because the nightmare doomsday scenario is if you have to compete in a Texas or like my state, South Carolina, or reliably red state, you got a massive problem. And I think we're staring at that right now, brother.
Well, when you look at what happened in South Carolina, I want to get to that in a minute, but the fact they had to put all that money and effort to get Darlene Graham across the finish line when they had a very respectable Freedom Caucus conservative running that they just shoved to the side, that's beyond me. But going back to Texas for just a moment here, You know, I've been hearing reports on the ground that conservatives are very concerned about losing this race, that Kim Paxton is lazy, that Kim Paxton is not out there fundraising. And if you read between the lines, that's exactly what John Kennedy is saying here as well. But and I get that, but we still have to have a majority in the Senate. So why don't they have them? They've got tens of millions of dollars. Why are they not making Texas a priority?
Oh, it's a valid question. I think that the thing I'm hearing, I've been in Texas a couple times already. We're actually running pastor network meetings in Texas, and we've never done that before because we're concerned. And let's face it, this Talafrico, as you said, he's telling people he's a Christian, but God's not. And so it is a massive concern. I'm glad they're playing in our arena, and we're going to tap that back in an appropriate way. But the thing that people are asking me in Texas is, how much money did the National Republican Senatorial Committee spend on behalf of John Cornyn, knowing he was going to lose big? And, you know, like any other money spent early on, you kind of scratch your head and go, hey, we might need that money in the fall. This is a big deal. We're already facing the uphill climb of the midterms. Let's face it, we're not very good at that. As the president has pointed out, we're not very good at running in a race that he's not on the ballot when he has been great at bringing out a low propensity voter. So we're already facing an uphill climb. I think a lot of people are very concerned that the House is gone. And now looking at the Senate being toss up in usually reliably red areas, it's a big deal, brother. And I hope somebody on the president's team is screaming about the 5-alarm fire that I think we're facing.
I'm curious, Chad, this event that's happening next week, the rally, and President Trump has gone out there and said on the record now that he wants this to be a referendum on him and the job he has done. I think that's basically admitting that the Republican Congress has failed and they've really got nothing to run on. Do you think that is going to work, though? I mean, the voters are pretty shrewd. Do you think they're going to go and vote based on the job Trump has done or what the Congress has not done?
It's a great question. I think people are very frustrated that the Senate won't pass an 80-20 issue like Save America Act. They're very frustrated with John Thune. I think the marginal Republican doesn't go out to vote all the time. Voters going, what for? Why would I vote for these guys? But every time I think of the doom and gloom, I think about what we do and you do, and that is get people out to vote because it's a biblical obligation. Right. Look, I think that the whole thing about next week, Trump has realized he has to make it about himself, and he's got a message appropriately. We've got a great message. I've heard Mike Johnson give this. I just need to hear it over and over and over again. You may not be super happy with Republicans, but this is common sense versus crazy. The left has gone so far crazy that may help us because they may suppress enough of their normal flag waving American vote that they don't want to go vote for an LCA'd in Michigan or this crazy woman in Florida that's screaming and ranting through a bullhorn. Those things may be in opposition to common thinking and intuition that may actually help us as well. So there are so many dynamics. The convention next week, I think's tough. He's looking for the TV ratings. We're going up against the NFL. I'll be in Dallas, obviously. I'm a delegate from my state of South Carolina, but it is an uphill climb, and I think everything you're seeing is an acknowledgement this is an uphill climb, and we got to do everything we can.
Yeah, not only do you have the NFL, you've got the one-year anniversary of Charlie Kirk's assassination.
Correct.
And you've got the 25th anniversary of the 9/11 terrorist attacks. So, there's no oxygen left. So I hope that they get what they want out of this, but I don't know. Chad, I want to go back to...
I'm not as hopeful for it. I mean, look, somebody's advising the president, spend time on renaming a lake. And I love that. I love Lake America. I love that. But there's no middle-of-the-road Republican low-propensity voter going, yes, now I'm going to vote for the Republicans. It just seems to be we're all over the map. We don't have a coherent message. And, you know, this was what Reagan was the best at, right? He was staying on message and breaking through the media barriers so people would hear what we had to say. And that's what scares me the most, Todd, is I'm not hearing. There's plenty to run on. We got great messaging. Crime is down. The southern border is secure. We've defended our Israeli allies and taken the nuke away from Iran. There's a lot of things to be really positive about, but you know how it is. You got to break through the media barrier and say it over and over and over and over again so that people actually get the message. And that's what I'm worried about 60 days out, brother.
Chad, I want to go back to South Carolina, which is your home state. That I'm sorry, that debate, geez, Aloo, I mean, that was bad. And I think, look, I don't know what happened. I know why Trump endorsed Darlene Graham. I get that. But I feel bad for Ralph Norman. He's a good guy. My question is, it seems like he hasn't gotten over this yet. And I'm wondering if that could impact voter turnout on the Republican side. Do you think Republicans are going to get out to vote?
Yeah, we'll be okay in South Carolina. And okay. I haven't talked to Ralph yet. I did talk to one of his chief staffers today who he said that Ralph walked it back. He didn't hear the question well. Ralph's always been a team player. He'll push for the team. We cannot let crazy Annie Andrews, who's pro-gay marriage, pro-LGBT everything, pro-trans, pro-choice up to birth, kill the babies up to birth. She's pro everything you and I have been against our entire lives. And she won't win in South Carolina. But again, it goes back to our first conversation about making a reliably red state uncomfortable. This is a bad deal, right? And I was in the front row at the debate, and I was glad to have that hosted in my hometown in Newberry, South Carolina, the old Opera House. It was fantastic. And here's what I think. We're going to have a hard time replacing Lindsey Graham and 30 years of foreign policy chops, of 30 years of relationships. I really think the guy gets a lot of credit behind the scenes for the Abraham Accords because he built those relationships. I don't care who it is. It's going to be really difficult replacing that. And I think the left sees an opportunity just in that venue.
Mm. Chad Conley joining us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. He is the founder of Faith Wins, a great ministry that mobilizing pastors really across the nation. I was at Franklin Road Baptist Church over the weekend, and we were doing a book event there. And a good friend of ours, Dave Delaney, the pastor at First Baptist Church Long Beach, his son teaches at their Christian school and is actually a chapter. He's got a chapter in the book just based on how he's teaching history to these kids. Anyway, we were all part of this little panel discussion, and I want you just to weigh in on this. Cut number 8, please. The pastor, I believe, is asking a question here. This is Joel Norris.
But we talked specifically about prayer. We talked about that we as Christians should be praying. And so we want to close tonight by just giving a few prayer requests that you believe and that you've seen that Christians can be praying for right now during this time.
I think we can pray for our religious leaders. I think we can pray for our churches. But most importantly, and I've said this a few times tonight, but pray for our families. Right. That's the foundation of our society, and families need prayer now more than ever. So I would say those would be my big three for sure.
I would concur with that. The communist said that the ultimate way to conquer America is to destroy or weaken the family, the nuclear family. So that is why the nuclear family is under attack in America. So, and I do believe that we need strong families. I want to encourage us to pray for those that are out campaigning. You know, it is, again, D or R, to put yourself out there and to campaign, that is a tough thing to do. So I hope you pray for those candidates that they're out there, as they're out there campaigning. And most importantly, I hope when you go and vote, take a look at the issues and take a look at what the Bible says about those issues and vote accordingly.
Right. Amen.
All right. Did I get that right? Was that all right there, Conley?
I thought that was awesome, brother. And for you to say that, you're right. It takes so much heart and soul. It takes a lot out of you. I mean, I've run before and I've lost, and it's very tough. It's tough on the family of the people that run. But to throw your heart over the bar to do whatever it takes to run for office is a big deal. And I love that the comment was made. The communists want to destroy just what you said. They want to destroy the nuclear family. And we see the utter confusion. I talked about it in my Sunday school class at First Baptist in Newberry on Sunday. This is the goal of the communists. It's just one more reason for us to oppose them. And And look around. You don't have to see far, look very far to see the confusion. We got people that can't define what W is in the WNBA. I thought all along it was woman. We've got 9 women and 3 men in a jury that can't decide that a woman who strangled her babies is wrong because her feelings. This is what a terrible education that wasn't foundationally based on virtue has gotten us, is we kowtow, we bow to feelings now instead of facts and truth. And we're in a mess, Todd. So yes, prayer for all of that. I love the Norris family. Mike Norris has been just a hero and a mentor of mine. I know Joel, I'm glad you were there to say all those things, brother, because they got to be said and prayer's got to be committed to for God to turn this country around.
Great, great people. And I will say this, they even got me some Dr. Pepper. So those are really good people in my book. So. All right, Conley, where people go to your website, what, you know, they want to get involved, what do they need to do?
Yeah, go to faithwins.org, F-A-I-T-H, faithwins, W-I-N-S.org. We got all the resources, Todd. Your church has to run a voter registration drive. We're actually pushing that next thing out on Thursday. We suggest 2 back-to-back Sundays in September before early voting starts, and also after people have finished their summer travel and after Labor Day. All the resources for every state is on faithwins.org. Go to your pastor. Pastor, let's run a nonpartisan voter registration drive and volunteer to help in the back of the church, in the vestibule, the foyer, and just stand there. And different states are different. Some of you can register on a QR code online. Some of you have to fill out a form. We have all those instructions for all the folks in the various states, Todd. And I'll see you at Spiritual Leadership. We're doing a panel out there just in a few weeks, brother.
That is true. Spiritual Leadership Conference at Lancaster Baptist Church. And of course, it's open to the public. Thousands of Christians are going to be gathered. There's going to be an incredible several days together on the beautiful campus of West Coast Baptist College. And we'd love to see you guys there. All right, my friend, safe travels, and we'll see you in California.
You're the best. Love you, bro. Take care, man.
All right. Old Chad Conley, always fired up. He's a good guy. But again, faithwins.org, if you want to get information on how your church can get involved. And again, this is not turning your church into a local, you know, Republican Party. This is about engaging the culture, in your neighborhoods. And I just cannot stress the importance of that enough. That really is a central theme of the Golden Age. It is imperative that churches once again take their place in the public marketplace. And if we do, we're going to see some great things happen in this country. I have absolutely no doubt about that. All right, got to take a break. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. I don't know what it is. I wrangle with these headphones every day. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. I want you to listen to this this woman. We've got this story up on the website, toddstearns.com. Cut 15, please.
Some of the moms got a call from their daughter saying, there's a man in my hotel room. I have been booked in a room with another page who is a man, and it was physically obvious. So the mom gets on her phone, and she's calling the other chaperones, trying to figure out what's going on, and they just told her, it's not a big deal. They are an official member of the Daughters of the American Revolution.
Wow.
It's absolute insanity.
That is absolute insanity. If I was a mother and my 18-year-old daughter had to share a room with a man she never met, pretending to be a woman, so he's obviously mentally unstable in the first place, I don't even want to tell you what I do.
One of the moms got on a plane, and yes, she went there, yeah, and she immediately booked a flight and booked another hotel room for her daughter to go stay in at her own expense, and she went up there and got her.
Yeah, the problem with that is that it allows you to protect your own child, but it does nothing to protect all the others.
Exactly.
And it doesn't do anything to hold the organization accountable, and it doesn't do anything to stop it happening, yep, again.
They've been fighting this for years now, trying to hold the organization accountable and figure out what on earth is going on here, because they had no idea.
Yeah, this is a crazy story. Daughters of the American Revolution under fire. A group of moms from Texas, Fort Worth, Texas, say their daughters were forced to room with men who identify as women, and the moms are ready to go to war. So we've got the story up at toddstearns.com. I encourage you to, we've got to take a break here shortly. Go to the website and read this story. It's just unbelievable what these poor girls had to go through. But again, it shows you that every single one of our beloved institutions is under attack. And by the way, we went back and looked. There were no transgender people in the Mayflower. And to our knowledge, no transgender people among the Minutemen. I just want to throw that out there. All right. Hang tight, everybody. Got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926, our number. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. All right. Wow. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Honored to have you with us today. By the way, we have launched new attacks on Iran. We'll be keeping you updated on that story. So anyway, that's how that goes. So we'll keep you updated on that breaking news coming out of Iran. But the U.S. launching airstrikes again on the nation that we have defeated multiple times. So we'll keep you updated on all of that. Last night, had a wonderful opportunity to visit with my friend Rita Cosby. She is a nationally syndicated radio host. She's based out of New York City, WABC, the historic WABC. And Rita was kind enough to interview me about the Golden Age. We talked about President Trump. It was just a really fun conversation. Let's take a listen.
Joining us now is the great Todd Starnes. He is a big best-selling author, a great TV host, a great radio host. He's also the owner of the great station, KWAM, KWAM, an awesome station in Memphis, Tennessee, which is so smart because it syndicates the Rita Cosby Show. So you know that Todd has good taste. And Todd has another awesome book out right now. It is called The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. Todd, it's great to have you here, my friend.
Rita Cosby, you are the queen of the Bluff City. Forget about the king of rock and roll. We've got the queen of talk radio on the Mighty 990, KWAM, and Memphis loves Rita Cosby.
Thank you. Well, I love Memphis, by the way. It is like one of the most beautiful cities, and I just want to tell you, I'm totally jealous that you're based there because it is one of the most magnificent cities and I love the blues. I love Elvis. So like everything about Memphis, and I love you, Todd Starnes. And I think you got another big bestseller, my friend. Tell us how important this moment is. I love that you focus in this new book, by the way, about how Trump saved America. That's why I had to play the he ain't Babe Ruth that he just said. Because think about how different America would be if it was Kamala Harris, Joe Biden part two.
Yeah, Rita, one of the reasons Memphis is a great city is because of Donald Trump. And I write about this in the book. The president was a guest on my radio show, and this was right after he sent the National Guard into D.C. And I said, Mr. President, we appreciate you saving the nation's capital, but you got to take a look at what's happening in Memphis. It's like we call it Mogadishu on the Mississippi. That's how bad it was down here. And the president said he wasn't aware, but he would look into it. And Rita, after this long interview we did, before we hung up, he said, Todd, I'm going to look at Memphis, I promise you. And a couple of weeks later, got the call from the White House, and they said, the president is sending in the National Guard. Rita, crime, violent crime in Memphis, down almost 50% as a result of what the president did. And that's really why I wrote this book, to remind Americans of the great things this man has done for America, when after three assassination attempts, he could have spent the rest of his life playing golf and enjoying parties at Mar-a-Lago. But he said, we've got to do something to save America for the next generation. And that's why I wrote The Golden Age.
You know, I love that you brought it up to him, Todd. That's so awesome about the crime. And in fact, just last night he was touting the success of D.C. and Memphis. So I think that is so spectacular that you had such an impact, too, and that he followed that. And he's touting those great numbers. You know, it's incredible, Todd, too, because you think about what life would have been like and what it might be like if in, say, 2028, an AOC or who knows goes into the White House. It really is frightening. You think about already how many folks came across that wide open southern border and how different had some of the woke policies, the, you know, boys and girls sports, all these things that he's really been a barrier to. And just even the first day signing off on the executive order. The minute he came in, it was like, okay, the border is closed. It only took a president to do it. It didn't take Congress or a new policy. It took somebody with will in the White House. Talk about just how transformative he's been and also what's at stake in November.
Well, I had the honor of being able to sit down and interview the president several times, and those conversations sort of flavor the book. And you're right, this country was in a very dark place after the auto pen presidency of Joe Biden. And I say that not to insult Joe Biden at all, but there were some very dangerous people that were put into the bureaucracy that he had no clue about. And it was a very dangerous and dark time. I think we were really on the cusp of going over the socialist cliff. And President Trump gets elected and he literally slams on the brake and puts the bus in reverse. And I think really saved the country from a disaster, which actually started during the Obama years when Obama promised to fundamentally transform America. And I kind of go through all of that in the book. This is not some sort of a stuffy policy book. This is sort of a rip roaring fun. There's a lot of laughter in the book. But we just tell it like it is and give credit where credit is due. And Rita, I just got sick and tired of some of my fellow conservatives throwing shade on my president, who has done a remarkable job.
Yeah. And I think about the courage of going after Iran. I mean, so many presidents, Republicans as well, always talked about the threat Iran posed. He had the guts to go after it. I mean, there's something that's so incredible about the steel of President Trump. And you and I both know it because we both have been blessed to spend time with him. I mean, it's remarkable seeing how many different things are on the president's plate, not afraid to pick up the phone to talk to Putin and try to bring Putin and Zelensky together, not afraid to, you know, to try to talk to Kim Jong-un. There's something very remarkable. He's fearless.
You know, he really is. And I have to tell you a funny story. We do have some fun in the book, and we had an incident at our book signing. Senator Marsha Blackburn was there. Congressman David Kustoff. We were at the Barnes & Noble in Memphis, of all places. And we were having a great time back in the periodical section, signing books and talking to folks. We all of a sudden, there was this huge commotion. There was a thundering herd of morbidly obese white woke women with the nose rings. And Rita, honest to goodness, they stormed the Barnes & Noble and were trying to shut down our book signing.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
It turns out there's a chapter in my book where on the radio, I just feel bad for these women. I think they're sad and lonely. And I offered myself up as a life coach to what I call the gals of girth to help them find meaning in life by getting them husbands. And apparently they took great offense at that, Rita. And I just really did it out of the goodness of my heart.
You were trying to play matchmaker, right?
Well, yes, with my assistant life coaches, the lovely Mrs. Betty Crocker and a lady from across the big pond known as Lady Bick. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, by the way, speaking of good humor, which you obviously had to have at that moment, did you have any other occasions where people were like, how could you be out there promoting Trump? It's like everything President Trump, I have never seen, and you and I have been in the media a long time, Todd, but it's like I've never seen a single individual who takes so much incoming from the press and from, you know, those who just have Trump derangement syndrome, like those women, obviously, too. Did you have any other experiences? Because It's crazy. They won't give it. He could walk on water and, you know, and they would say, is his feet getting dirty in the water and polluting? You know, he'd cure cancer and they'd be mad that he'd be putting the pharmaceuticals out of business.
No, you're right about that. That's what makes me so angry is that, Rita, you're the real deal. The Rita Cosby from, 20 years ago is the Rita Cosby today.
And you too, my friend. You too, Todd Starnes.
And so that's what I do is I go back and I look at these people and their history, because a lot of these folks are just grifters. And I hate to say this, but there are a lot of folks in the conservative movement and they're sort of gullible and they buy into all of this stuff. And it's really heartbreaking to see them when they realize, oh, these people were taking them down a bad path. And again, this is why I wanted to write The Golden Age, celebrate all the things that Trump has done. But also a reminder, Rita, that Trump leaves office in 2 years, and it's really going to be up to us to carry that banner forward. What does that look like, and how do we do it? And I sort of lay out some ideas and thoughts about that in The Golden Age.
So who do you think will be in that crowded field, and who sort of carries the mantle? I mean, obviously, there's a J.D. Vance, and there's Rubio. But then today, a reporter was asking him, Todd, I don't know if you heard it, what do you think about Pete Hegseth? Some report he might be running in 2020. And President Trump said he's great. I think there's going to be a lot of people. I think it's going to be unless he clears the path. But I think 2028 is going to be a very interesting time.
I think we're going to have a deep bench, and we've got some really formidable candidates out there. I don't think you can dismiss Ron DeSantis down in Florida, who's really done a tremendous job as governor down there. Marco Rubio. Marco's just done a tremendous job. And Pete Hegseth, I will say this, his wife used to be my producer back when I was at Fox back in the day. I know them both. And I think, look, Pete's done a remarkable job with the military. There's a chapter on how Trump saved the military of the book. I think we've got a deep bench. The challenge is going to be the midterm elections. And Rita, I know people are really miffed at Congress right now and the Republicans. I get that. But the only reason you need to go and vote, I get you hate the Republicans right now, folks, but you got to get out there and save our president from being impeached, because that's what's going to happen if the Democrats get control of Congress.
Yeah, I have no doubt. Al Green, by the way, did you hear? Todd already has filed his papers. He's working on his papers on his way out the door. It's like, let me just do one for old time's sake, one impeachment. It's like they've got impeachment-itis. And I agree that the stakes could not be higher, especially given so many of these folks that we see at the DSA. Well, Todd, you have an awesome book. I want to tell everybody again, it's called The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. And you also have the best station there in Memphis, the mighty 990 KWAM, KWAM, and they're lucky to have you, Todd, every day, and I'm blessed to be a part of it, and hopefully in some small way. I love it.
Well, we love you. We love cats. You guys are great and sound great down here in Dixie, and we love the great work you're doing for the country and for the President, Rita.
Thank you. And you too, my friend. We got to save America. We got to keep up the good pace and save America. And Trump already saved it via The Golden Age and your awesome great book. And I'm glad the ladies didn't get to you, Todd, at the bookstore.
We felt like we could outrun him if we had to, Rita.
Todd, you're great. We love you. Congrats on another great book, my friend. We'll talk soon.
All right, take care.
Thank you very much. And everybody, be sure to check out Todd's awesome book, The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Tonight, I'll be on Ed Henry's show on Newsmax. We're going to be talking about the book, and also you folks across the great state of Kansas, Andy Hoosier will have me on his program this afternoon. So they're keeping us pretty busy, and it's been really exciting to see the interest in the Golden Age. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I want to go back to what's happening in Texas. This is Pastor Jordan Wells, and he is really upset about the lack of Republican interest in the Texas Senate race, cut 28.
You know my biggest issue with the Ken Paxton race? My biggest issue is with some of the Republicans in the GOP Senate, especially Thune, which I think has been a disaster as a majority leader. We all knew he was going to be a disaster, but he's been a bigger disaster than I think. I mean, Mike Johnson's done a great job. In my opinion, I think he's a great Speaker of the House. I think Thune is horrible. Okay, so first of all, we are supposed to be the party of freedom. We're supposed to be the party that respects election results. Cornyn had been in office for like 20 years, right? Which I don't believe anybody should stay in office in one position that long, right? These jobs are public servant jobs. These are not jobs to retire. That's why we got Mitch McConnell, who is a senator, but is pretty much brain dead somewhere, probably. Like he's literally people being pushed into wheelchairs into the Senate. That is never what our founders meant. That's never what our founding fathers wanted, right? People to die in office, right? That's why the George Washington, he could have done that, but he chose to only do two terms. Right? I think two or three terms as a senator is enough time to let somebody else come in. So you got this situation where Cornyn has been there forever. The people, I think, even if Trump would have endorsed Paxton, Cornyn, I think Paxton would have won. That's how much I think most Republicans were done with Paxton, with Cornyn. You can't be mad. The voters did not want Cornyn. They just didn't want him. And then you have the GOP now that is angry. Let's think about this. In Texas, which is a Republican state, Tyler Rico is outraising Paxton 1-10. Right. I mean, of course, Trump is coming in. Elon Musk is going to help big time to catch up with that. But just think about the fact that the GOP, that Thune spent $100 million on Cornyn on a primary. When he should have stayed out of the primary and let two Republicans duke it out. But instead, he used $100 million of people's money to back Cornyn. Now he's barely, because he's mad that the people fire Cornyn. He's refusing to invest any money as almost a FU to Donald Trump and the Republican base.
Careful, voting for Pastor, Paxton. Careful now.
This is why turnout is such an issue when Trump is not on the ballot. Because Republicans know that Trump is really one of the only Republicans that actually love them and will fight for them, even if they disagree with him sometimes. Mm. It is a shame right now. And I know Paxton's still going to win because I think Tyler Frico is a lunatic, and I just can't believe that Texas would vote for such an insane person to believe there are six genders and that God is non-binary.
All right, there you go. Well, there you go, and Pastor, well said, well said. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. There is a beautiful story out of Huntsville, Alabama. A lady by the name of Jeannie Guffey, 74 years old, she'd been diagnosed with lung cancer, and she was confined to a bed. And one day she was talking to her nurses. They were about to send her home to hospice. She was talking to the nurses and said that she really wanted to be baptized. She'd never been baptized. And so they were trying to figure out how to make this happen because she was on the fourth floor of the hospital hooked up to all these machines and tubes. And the nurses put their money together and they purchased a kiddie pool. Jeannie's family found an electric air pump to blow it up. And then they used ventilator tubing to make a makeshift water hose. And they actually baptized this precious woman right there at the hospital. Her son, doing the honors of baptizing his mom there at the hospital, went home to hospice the next day, and then the following week, Jeannie passed away. But she died with her dream fulfilled thanks to those three Alabama nurses, all good Samaritans. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Always an honor to have our good friend, the Queen of Talk Radio, Mary Walter, joining us. Mary, I have gotten so many great comments from the interview we did last week. You had me on your podcast, and it was a lot of fun. I had a great time.
It was, and it wasn't really an interview, was it? It was really just us talking, which is what it's all, that's what the podcast is all about. But Todd, may I just say, you tell a story like no other.
Well, I am Southern, so we do stories good down here in Dixie.
Yeah, so much fun. That's why I love having you on, because you just make me laugh through the entire thing. And so that's up online. If people want to watch it, they can go to YouTube, Rumble, or Getter. Look for Mary Walter Radio if you want to listen to it. It is on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Spreaker. And it's always a pleasure when you join me. And because I know how crazy you are, I look at your feed. You're at book signings here. You're there. You're all over the place. And so having you take that time out for us was really special. So thank you.
No, it was great. Look, I tell you this. I did Rita Cosby's show, and she's like super late night. And I forgot and took my sleeping pill. So I was really concerned that I was, you know, I wasn't like, you know, slurring my words last night during Rita's show. So, you know, but you, I waited to take my drugs.
Oh, thank you. That's friendship. You know why? Because I'm your drug.
Look, I want to ask you about this story. And it generated, shockingly, a lot of controversy. This is out of Polk County, Georgia, where police were searching for a missing child. They ended up in a pasture. And this was like 12:30. It was like right after midnight. And the cops were approached by what they call, Dylan, what are they? They're not midget donkeys. What do they call them?
Miniature donkeys.
Little donkeys. Yeah, the miniature donkeys, like the miniature horses. They have miniature donkeys. And the donkey brayed at the cops. And the cop, fearing his life, first tried to tase the donkey. When that didn't work, they pulled out a gun and they shot poor little Hee-Haw.
Yeah. This happens far too often with family pets, et cetera, with the police. And if you're a cop in Georgia, how do you not know that a miniature donkey is no threat? How do you not know that? It's a miniature donkey. They're adorable and cute, but they shoot family dogs too. I don't understand the culture that allows that, right? Like, I don't get it. Just saying, oh, I feared for my life, and suddenly you're off the hook. No, this is really horrible, and something needs to be done. I don't know what justice would be, but the family needs some kind of justice.
Well, the family has a GoFundMe page, and they've already raised over $100,000 in little Hee-Haws. And that's the name of the donkey, by the way, Hee-Haw. And the woman said, the 30-year-old woman who owns the donkey was just devastated. She said she treated the donkey like her son. Hee-Haw was her son. She allowed Hee-Haw to sleep in bed with her. So, I mean,
okay, that's a bridge too far. I love donkeys, but unless you put a diaper on that thing, it ain't getting in bed with me, all right? I mean, I love them. My cat sleeps in the bed, but he also gets up and uses
his litter box. You want to chime in here on that one?
Yeah, well, the one key piece of information that Todd missed. Well, he didn't miss. He was probably going to get to it, but the donkey did, in fact, wear a diaper.
Oh, okay.
So is the bed more justified? All right, justified?
I also think it is a barnyard animal, and so I think, you know, the diaper on the donkey is also a little bit too far. Like, you can let it in the house, like, I get that, but ultimately it should probably sleep outside in its own little home. That's all.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, it's a farm animal. It's a critter. Beds are for humans, and, you know, barns are for critters. And so anyway, so the cop's he's on leave as they investigate, and everybody, and apparently the little donkey was very popular in town, and everybody's just distraught. They killed the little midget donkey.
Can I just say, like, you're a cop and you're afraid of a miniature donkey, we might revisit your ability to be a police officer. Because, like, if that's where you draw the line, that's where you just start shooting because a miniature donkey brays at you in the middle of the night, you have to kill it. I just don't know if your constitution is for the whole policing thing.
Now, I will say,
expect them to be braver than me.
Yeah, well, if it had been a sea lion, you know, I was out in California, and we were out on the beach. This is years ago, and Yeah. We stumbled upon like a, I don't know, what do you call them, a posse of sea lions. Those things are really aggressive. I mean, they'll try to, they lumber after you. So,
come on, Todd. Even you, though, can outrun a sea lion. They sprint, but for a very short distance, okay? Yeah,
they get out of breath, too.
Yeah, and they get out of breath as well. So I think that, Todd, my money, if I had, I see a fundraiser, Todd. You versus a sea lion in a 50-yard dash, and who finishes it first, right?
It's sort of like our own version of what, the 250 games that Trump just had, the Freedom Games. I could just take on various
kind
animals.
Of, but maybe the hillbilly version. But yeah, I think you could raise so much money doing that. I love it. I love the idea.
Wow. Mary Walter joining us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. You know, Mary, we're still waiting on the verdict, by the way. The jury came back today and they said, we can't reach a decision. We don't have a unanimous decision. Judge said, no, you got to go back in there. Mary, I don't think they're going to be able to reach a decision. What say you?
You know, I agree. I keep saying, I'm so glad I was never on this jury. Cause like, you would have to pay me to be on this jury. Like, you can pay me enough to be on this jury. Cause I can see both sides of it. You know, there are people in this country who we say, oh, unfit to stand trial. We just had a guy from an illegal alien from Turkestan or whatever, one of the stands. And he was, you know, guilty of, you know, by reason of insanity, couldn't stand trial. So he goes to like happy home and they're not supposed to let him out, but Virginia gave him like a weekend pass. And while in that weekend pass, he managed to get a credit card and he got his passport. And then in his next weekend pass, which he wasn't supposed to get either, he wasn't supposed to be released, he flew back home. So this guy's not guilty by reason of insanity, but yet he was sane enough to work all that out, to get a credit card, to get a passport, and to make reservations to fly back to one of the stands. So I think sometimes we hand it out, but because her crime is so unfathomable to us, how can a mother kill her children? Like, that to us is just so taboo that I think we tend to treat women more harshly when it comes to that, right? Even a father who does it, I think we don't treat as harshly as we would a woman. So I kind of see both sides of this. She was seeing a gazillion doctors. I think the medical system in this country, when it comes to mental health, needs a lot of work. And she was on a cocktail of all sorts of mood altering drugs. And I'm really torn on this.
You see, this is where you and I may part ways on this issue, because for me, she knew she had a very serious problem and was trying to get help. So it seems to me, if the argument is that she was not getting the help that she thought she needed, it seems to me she should have somehow separated herself from her children so that she would not be able to harm them. If in fact that's, you know, she was wanting to harm her children and she needed help. You separate yourself from that, but she didn't do that. And I was watching Nancy Grace, who terrifies me. Nancy Grace.
She's your mini donkey.
Oh my Lord. So she's out there saying, look, she planned everything here. So there's no way she can claim the psychosis part of it, because this thing was so well planned out. And that's her take on it. But I don't think the jury sees it that way.
Yeah, I get it. I understand that this woman did time in a mental institution, but then was let go after, you know, I think like 3 days or something like that. I don't know. I think when you're trying to get the help and the medical system fails you, is that the medical system's fault or is that her fault? I don't know. And like, but at the same time, there's three dead children and it just crushes my heart.
And again, I say punish the doctor, you know, the medical community, whoever screwed up, they need to pay a price. If the husband did something or didn't do something, then he should pay a price. But ultimately, only one person killed those kids, and it was her. Sure. And I mean, she could very well roll out of that courtroom today if they end up coming back and finding her not guilty.
And would a sane person do what she did, trying to kill herself afterwards?
I don't know. I don't know.
See, these are the questions. This is why, first of all, I'm never going to get on a jury anyway. That's number one, because of what I do for a living, never getting on a jury. So that's number one. But number two, I think this is a really hard jury to be on. I really do. And I feel for these people. But I think the other problem is they were not sequestered. So they took in, they're not supposed to, but you couldn't go anywhere and not hear about this story, especially when people find out you're on the jury. Everybody wants to give you their opinion. So that part of it, I think, is really hard too, because I think they've gotten a lot of input from a lot of people.
Well, yeah, I never get on the juries either. I don't know why. I always show up. I wear the same thing. I wear the NRA ball cap, and I've got a Donald Trump T-shirt, a MAGA shirt. I never get picked. They always, sir, you're excused.
But let me ask you a question. I would like to serve on a jury in a way. Like I go, like I don't avoid it because God forbid I'm ever in front of need a jury. Like I want a jury of my peers, not a jury of people who are too dumb to get out of it. Do you know what I mean? Or people who, you know, a lot of the seniors would show up every single time they're called. I want a jury of my peers. That's all I'm saying. I want a jury of my peers. And I don't think you get a jury of your peers all the time because so many people do their best to get out of it. So I show up, I do what I'm supposed to do, and I don't get out of the jury room downstairs, like I never make it up into the courtroom. And the one time I did, they asked me what I did, where I worked, and they're like dismissed. And it was the defense that dismissed me. I'm like, oh, he's guilty.
Wow. That
right?
Is, well, it's a fair point, but maybe, you know, one day maybe I would like to do it, but you know, I, God forbid I get put on one of these long cases and, you know, I'm going to miss, you know, the radio show. I would miss you guys.
Right. No, 100%. But, and that's one of the reasons why at this point in our careers, I don't even get called to the jury, to the court, because if I don't work, I don't get paid. But when I'm retired, you know, yeah, I'll do it. I'll absolutely do it. I'm not going to be one of these people who's, you know, it's like Friday at Costco and I'm going there for lunch, so I'm going to show up all the time. But I definitely will do it because I don't know. I think that's the system and we should all participate.
Mary Walter coming up tonight, another podcast. Yes. Who's on the big show tonight?
The big show tonight is the ITG. So if you watch the podcast, you know who the ITG is, because when we were on vacation, we had an experience that I think we want to share, and he was the key player in it. So he's going to be talking about the experience, but I think it plays to a bigger topic. So that's what we're going to be talking on. I know, very cryptic, but join us at 7:15 p.m. Eastern time on YouTube, Rumble, or Gitter. And you can ask questions. You leave questions and comments, and you'll hear this story.
Oh, that was a lot of fun. You know, answering the questions as they were coming in real time. You've got a great audience.
And they had so many questions after you left that we didn't get to because it just keeps going, you know. So these were questions that were asked like 15 minutes later and you had to go. And people asked some great topics all about your new book, The Golden Age.
Awesome. Mary Walter, great to see you. And we'll see you tonight on the podcast.
Thank you so much. Bye, everybody.
All right. Great American patriot right there. Mary Walter. We did have a lot of fun on that podcast. And I don't think I'm a very good interviewee. I love asking the questions and really sort of steering the conversation. And I'm always, I don't know. I'm just like, I get a little tense.
I disagree.
Really?
Yeah. I feel like you do like to tell stories and that's like the best part of you. I mean, so I don't know. I disagree.
We try to have a little bit of fun.
Yeah.
So it is
always fun.
All right. We've got to take a quick break, everybody. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. So our flagship station in Memphis, KWAM, they've got an interesting piece up on their website, KWAM Radio, KWAMradio.com. And there has been a big arrest, more than 120 people arrested by federal authorities at a Mexican nightclub. And I want you to listen to Cut 17, please.
Imagine going out for a fun Saturday night with your friends, your family, your community, and then more than 100 of you being kidnapped and arrested by ICE, thrown into buses, and shipped off to detention facilities God knows where. So that's exactly what happened in Memphis this weekend. And this is exactly what happens when Republicans are in power in state and local governments and totally bend the knee to Donald Trump. The National Guard is still deployed in Memphis. The Memphis Unsafe Task Force is still deployed, harassing migrants. Communities across the city. When I was out in Memphis this weekend, I was told how ICE is deliberately targeting Latino communities. One man was pulled over for just having two dark tinted windows. He didn't have the proper paperwork, and he was deported because of his window tint. These are your neighbors, your coworkers, they're local business owners, and they are being kidnapped and sent to concentration camps. In July alone, ICE kidnapped 50,000 people. And I don't know about you, but my groceries aren't any cheaper. My health care isn't any cheaper. My rent hasn't gone down. These are people that were just trying to go out and enjoy their Saturday night. And now this administration and the Memphis city government has told them they're not even safe to do that.
Okay, first of all, let me just clear up something here. There are no concentration camps in Memphis. No, the smoke you might see is coming from a pit smoker. So people are not being, nobody's being gassed. Nobody's being burned alive in Memphis. Dylan, remember, we can't say the name of our favorite taco place.
Yes.
And, you know, we're great American patriots here on the Todd Stearns radio show. But we have our favorite taco place is, you could walk there from here. It's just right around the corner. And, what was it last year? Yeah. We saw all the black vehicles zooming by and they ended up at the taco joint.
Yeah, it was a tough day.
Oh my God. I'm like, not our taco joint. Yeah. Come on, man. But we had to take one for America that day. We had to take one for America.
They have other locations.
Could you imagine, though? And look, this is the thing. Over 120 some odd people arrested. I think there was like a gambling operation. This is at a Mexican joint. It wasn't the crazy Mexican. There was a shooting there, but this was another location. And so anyway, they're all upset. The local Fox TV affiliate said it was a dark day in Memphis. Wow. They're just as liberal as the day is long. But my question is this, because the aftermath, now they're marching in the streets and they're saying all of these children no longer have parents. All right, it was like 1 o'clock in the morning. Why were mommy and daddy at the Mexican bar instead of at home with the children? In case anybody wants to answer that question, because for me, I'm thinking, well, okay, you know, if your kids really matter to you, why are you not at home with them? Why are you out, you know, I don't know, whatever they do at a Mexican bar. Do they have a mariachi band?
Probably a lot of tequila being consumed.
Or margaritas or whatever. Tequila, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Maybe some guac.
Oh, yeah.
Pardon me. Guacamole. I think the G is silent.
Queso.
Queso. Oh, you got to have delicious queso. Yeah. Oh, what was it? River Ponchos.
Oh, yeah.
And that was some queso right there. Queso. The cheese dip. Very good. Very tasty. So maybe we could just keep those people. And, you know, just look the other way, because those are darn good tacos at our favorite taco joint. I'm just saying. All right, we got to get out of here. We'll see you tomorrow, America.